So I felt like the Lord gave me a word 10 days ago about, from the book of Esther that I was reading, about a turnaround. And this morning I've entitled it, The Turnaround. Because I really believe God is going to bring a turnaround. He is the God of the turnaround. And there are people here today, people listening online, God bless you, and people we know who need a miracle and a turnaround in health, in finances, in their business, in their job situation, in their marriage, with their kids, in their family. And I believe that our God is the God of the turnaround. He turns stuff around. He can turn it around in a day. Or sometimes he's turning it around and he's taking a while and we don't even know he's turning it around and then it appears. Have you ever been in a hard place and it seems like there's no way out? And you feel like the enemy's got you cornered and you don't know what to do and you're praying, you're crying out to God, God, help me, God. But you can't see any help coming. Some here may be in that very place right now. But I want to say, hold on, because the Lord wants to bring about a turnaround for you. He turns the tables on the enemy because he is so good. Now, we know God is good, but what does that look like? How does his goodness work? The goodness of God is so huge, it's so overpowering that it can even overflow bad things and bad situations. God can turn around bad situations and even bring good out of them. So whatever is going on for you right now, you can trust God to protect you until your mission is complete. You know, it's like John Wesley said, my life is immortal until my work on earth is done. God's going to have his hand of protection and preservation on you and all that is yours until your mission is done, and then he'll take us home. So we're going to look at a guy who was in a difficult situation, and this is in the book of Esther. So I'm going to read a bit from the book of Esther from chapter, end of chapter 5 into chapter 6. But first of all, a bit of background. So the book of Esther is an amazing book. It was written by Ezra the scribe, authored, of course, by the Lord. But do you know what? God is not mentioned in the whole book of Esther. The name of God is not even in there, yet he is all over it. He is all through it. And so just a brief synopsis, although many of you know it. The king had ditched the old queen and he got a newer, younger model. And the way he got the new queen was to have a beauty contest, a pageant. You know, they're not very PC now, but they had one back then. And it was like Miss Persia. And guess what? Esther won. And she loved the Lord. She was a Jew, one of God's people. And she had like a gold sash and she had like tears and world peace, the whole deal. She had it going on. And now prior to going to the king, she had to have 12 months of beauty treatments. Talk about suffering for Jesus. She was at the day spa every day for a year. And she was having salad every day. No chips. No chips at all. Just salad for a whole year. And then they put all this oil on her, oil of this, oil of that. She must have been so slippery by the end of that year, you know, and it was all happening. But God had put her there for a purpose just at the right time. Such an amazing verse. Have you not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And we can see the hand of providence, the hand of the Lord all through the book of Esther. So Esther was orphaned and she was brought up by her older cousin, Mordecai. Now we're going to focus actually on Mordecai today, not Esther. So sorry, Esther, you already won the beauty pageant. You've got the sash, but we'll just stand aside. We're going to look at Mordecai today. So he was a worshiper of God. He was a Jew and he served the king. He didn't really have a big role, but he seemed to hang around a bit at the gate. Now, they were Jews, but they had not let on about their true identity. So we've got three main characters here. Mordecai, who is a servant of God. And then we've got Haman, who's a picture of the enemy. He's the enemy of God's people. So he's a picture of Satan because he's plotting to kill them all. God's people are in danger. The enemy's plotting their destruction. And number three, we've got the king. The powerful ruling king who is, of course, a picture of the Lord. So we've got Mordecai is like a picture of us. He's a servant of God. Haman, a picture, he's the enemy, picture of Satan. And the king, who's a picture of the Lord. So in Esther, she's a prayer warrior. She risked her life to intercede before the king and pray on behalf of the people of God, like we pray to the Lord. So the book of Esther is 10 chapters. The first half, things are steadily getting worse. for the people of God. The day of their death and destruction has been decreed and it's drawing nearer. And it's like things were getting worse before they got better. But exactly halfway through the book of Esther, the end of chapter 5, the start of chapter 6, which I'm about to read with you, there's this turnaround. So I want you to tell the person next to you, get ready for a turnaround. Tell the person on the other side, get ready for God's turnaround. Oh yeah. Here we go. So here's the end of chapter 5. We'll pick it up at verse 9. So Esther just put on a banquet for Haman and the king. Haman was a happy man as he left the banquet. But when he saw Mordecai sitting at the palace gate, not standing up before him or trembling nervously, Haman became furious. However, he restrained himself and went on home. Then Haman gathered together his friends and Zeresh, his wife, and boasted to them about his great wealth and his many children. He bragged about the honors the king had given him and how he had been promoted over all the other nobles and officials. Then Haman added, "And that's not all. Queen Esther invited only me and the king himself to the banquet that he prepared for us. And she has invited me to dine with her and the king again tomorrow." Then he added, "But that is all worth nothing as long as I see Mordecai, that Jew, just sitting there at the palace gate." He was so mad because Mordecai would not bow before him. So Haman's wife Zeresh and all his friends suggested, "Why don't you set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall? And in the morning, ask the king to impale Mordecai on it. When this is done, then you can go on your merry way to the banquet with the king." This idea pleased Haman, and he ordered the pole set up. Chapter 6, but that night the king had trouble sleeping. So he ordered an attendant to bring the book of the history of his reign so it could be read to him. In those records he discovered an account of how Mordecai had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who guarded the door to the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate King Xerxes. "What reward or recognition did we ever give Mordecai for this?" the king asked. His attendants replied, "Nothing has been done for him." "Who is that in the outer court?" the king inquired. As it happened, Haman had just arrived in the outer court of the palace to ask the king to impale Mordecai on that pole that he had prepared. So the attendants replied to the king, "Haman is out in the court." "Bring him in," the king ordered. So Haman came in and the king said, "What should I do to honor a man who truly pleases me?" Haman thought to himself, "Well, whom would the king wish to honor more than me?" So he replied, "If the king wishes to honor someone, he should bring out one of the king's own royal robes, as well as a horse that the king himself has ridden, one with a royal emblem on its head. Let the robe and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble officials, and let him see that the man whom the king wishes to honor is dressed in the king's robes and led through the city square on the king's horse. Have the official shout as they go, 'This is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor.'" "Excellent," the king said to Haman. "Quick, take the robes and my horse and do just as you have said to Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the gate of the palace. Leave out nothing you have suggested." So Haman took the robes and put them on Mordecai and placed them on the king's own horse and led him through the city square shouting, "This is what the king does for someone he wishes to honor." Afterward, Mordecai returned to the palace gate, but Haman hurried home, dejected and completely humiliated. Wow, the king could not sleep. It all started here. You know, when everyone else was asleep, the king was awake. And the king began planning and preparing a reward when he heard about how faithful his servant Mordecai had been. And you know, I want to say today, when it seems like everyone else is asleep and they've all forgotten you, I want you to know that the Lord, the King over all kings, is awake and he is working on your behalf. He is wide awake and he is planning your blessing, your reward and your promotion. And he has seen those times that you've spoken out for him, you've stuck up for him publicly, at work, at school, in the classroom, in the university lecture, at work, on the building site, in the office, when you have not been ashamed of him, but you have said, "Yes, I belong to Jesus," and you've shared Jesus with others, and you've declared your allegiance to him. God noticed that. He was listening. He saw it. And he will not forget your faithfulness to him. He will repay your loyalty to him. He will repay your loyalty in full. The enemy here of God's people, Haman, approached the king for permission to hurt Mordecai, God's servant. Haman hated Mordecai, God's servant, because Mordecai would only bow before the Lord. He wouldn't bow to Haman. He would only worship the Lord. Mordecai did not follow the status quo. He did not do what everyone else did. He would not join in the idolatry of worshiping a mere person. He had integrity and he only bowed down to the Lord. He was following God and God alone at risk to his own life in this situation. So Haman planned to bring dishonor, pain and death to Mordecai, God's servant. And today the enemy still seeks to bring dishonor, pain and death to the servants of the Lord. But we notice that the enemy, Haman, had to get the king's permission first before he was able to take Mordecai out. And we've got to know today that Satan needs God's permission to touch you. As we see here in this account, God is not giving that permission. Instead, what is he giving? Honor, blessing, prosperity, protection, promotion. I love in verse 4, just as Haman is moving toward the king to ask permission to get to dishonor, hurt, and kill God's servant. At the same time as he's moving towards the king is calling out for Haman to come so he can bring blessing and honor and freedom and life. So we see cursing and pain and death moving in, but we see blessing and honor and life also moving in, and they meet. And who wins out? The king, because the king will always win. The king's word will always trump the enemy. Hallelujah. So we see them meeting. We see them literally approaching each other at the same time. We see cursing meeting blessing. We see dishonor meeting honor. We see shame meeting promotion. We see death meeting life. The enemy's plan meeting the king's plan. The enemy's decree meeting the king's decree. And the king's decree prevailed. The authority of the king will always win out because his rule is absolute. His word will always trump the enemy. Even though Haman had a position of power and authority, he could not stand up against the word of the king. Even when people try and attack us, the Lord is going to fight for us because he is stronger. Don't forget the God factor. The Lord has a turnaround. We see it here in the book of Esther, and he's still turning stuff around today. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Our God is the God of the turnaround. For Mordecai, it looked like it was going to be the day of his death. That day had been decreed. That day was coming for all of God's people. But the king turned it around to be the day of great promotion. And yet Mordecai's death was more imminent than the rest of the Jews because there had been this big pole set up for him to be impaled upon. But God turned it around. God can turn your worst day into your best day. He can turn what was meant to bring you down into a springboard, into a brighter future. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. When we bring God our problems, our curses, all these things, they can become blessings. Even the worst things that have happened in our lives can even become the best things if we let God get a hold of them, because his goodness will invade them, because he is the God of the turnaround. And Haman didn't even see it coming. The enemy doesn't even see it coming. He was taken by surprise. You know, that's so true. Just when the devil thinks he's winning, he shoots himself in the foot. Give him enough rope and he'll hang himself every time. What the enemy planned boomeranged back on his own head. Haman, this enemy of the people of God, he reaped what he had sown. He planned death for God's servant, and instead death came back upon him. God's timing is so perfect. We can trust God in his timing. The Lord always comes through just in time. And I'm here today to tell you that God has got your back. God is just. And his justice will always win out. Whatever it is you're facing, you can trust God to bring a turnaround. Whatever the enemy's trying to put on you, the Lord can turn the tables on him. Now we notice here that the king summoned Haman into his presence. The enemy's plans can never stand in the presence of the king. They will be brought down. They will be brought to nothing. The plot of the enemy cannot prevail in the presence of the king. The enemy is always brought to his knees before the ruling and reigning king over all kings. And God's decree for you will prevail over every evil thing. He will bring about that prophetic word that he has prophesied over you. He will fulfill those promises he has given you. Now we're going to have a look at four chapters earlier about this assassination plot that Mordecai found out. So here we go, pick it up in Esther 2 verse 21. New Living Translation. So this is going back in time a little bit from what I just read you before. One day, as Mordecai was on duty at the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthana and Teresh, who were guards at the door of the king's private quarters, became angry at King Xerxes and plotted to assassinate him. But Mordecai heard about the plot and gave the information to Queen Esther, and she told the king about it and gave Mordecai credit for the report. When an investigation was made and Mordecai's story was found to be true, the two men were impaled on a sharpened pole. They seemed to like that kind of stuff. This was all recorded in the book of the history of King Xerxes' reign. So Mordecai uncovered this plot against the king. Now he reported this, and his brave act of loyalty to the king was recorded. It was written down officially on a record. It was recorded but not yet rewarded. The reward came later. And we've got to know today that God keeps records. Oh yeah, we better believe that the Lord misses nothing. He's got angels writing all this stuff down. He is watching. It says in, I think it's 2 Chronicles 9, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose hearts are completely his. In Revelation, it talks about scrolls and books that God's got written down, the book of life and other things, they open scrolls. Malachi 3:16, it says in about another book, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, the Lord listened and heard them, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord. The Lord knows those who are his. He is keeping records, and God will reward your loyalty to him. And at just at the right time, he will reward you. Mordecai was loyal and showed his allegiance to the king by this brave act. So the king chose to reward Mordecai after the event, and he chose to reward him publicly just at the right time. I want to encourage you today, the Lord has not forgotten your faithfulness to him. He has not forgotten when you have shown allegiance to him. And his reward for you is just, and it is coming, and it's going to come right on time. God's delays are always for a reason. His timing is freaky, but it's perfect. And we can think, well, God is never late, but oh, the opportunities he misses to be early. But his timing is perfect, and we can trust him, and we can trust his timing. And he will honor you publicly right in the enemy's face, because he is the God of the turnaround, and he has got a turnaround plan for you. So don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't give in to doubt. Trust God and stand firm, because your turnaround is coming. Tell the person next to you, your turnaround is coming. Oh, yeah. We read in Romans 8, 28, and we know in all these things that God works for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So right now, the Lord is working on your behalf. Here's a quote from Phil Pringle. Pastor Phil said, God is doing more behind your back than he is in front of your face. He is doing more when you're asleep than he is when you're awake. And we know that the provision for the Israelites in the wilderness, the manna, it came down at night. They didn't see it. When they were asleep, they just woke up to this provision. God is doing this. He is fulfilling those good plans he has for you, like it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Now we notice Mordecai's reward involved wearing a robe that the king had worn. This was the king's mantle, like an anointing that comes on like a cloak. The Lord rewards us by clothing us with his anointing, a kingly anointing. Others can see it and they notice it. The king also had his servant Mordecai sit on his own royal horse with a royal crest on it, and he was paraded publicly and shown to have the same standing It's the king. It's like the king is saying of his servant Mordecai, you are royalty. You are in my royal family. You're wearing my clothes. You're riding my horse. You're mine. The Lord wants to show off his faithful servants to the world. He is declaring his love for you to the whole world. He is saying, this is not only my servant, this is my son, this is my daughter. And all that is mine belongs to them. So God is proclaiming even in front of the enemy, in front of the world, in front of all of heaven and hell that is watching, that you belong to him, that you are loved and honored by him. He loves to reward us publicly. And I love how the king even ordered Haman, the enemy, to participate in the public blessing and promotion of Mordecai. It's like God orders the enemy to watch. He makes him watch. You prepare a table for me, Psalm 23 verse 5. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He makes the enemy watch his provision. It's a mark of his love for you. And it's like God saying, in your face, devil, watch and weep. You wanted to bring him down, I'm lifting him up. You can't touch what is mine, and this guy belongs to me. We see this principle in other parts of the Bible too. Joseph, like Victor already mentioned this morning, back in Genesis, he suffered at the hands of his brothers, but he could see God's hand in it at the end, and he could see the turnaround God had brought. Genesis 50 verse 20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. So Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, then falsely accused by the boss's wife, thrown into prison. And he was there for probably 12 years in total, enslaved, or 13 years. But then God caused him to go from the prison to the palace in a day. That's a turnaround right there. I want to tell you today that God knows your address. He knows how to get you to where you need to be. He knows how to get you to where he wants you to be, and he will cause you to arrive just at the right time. The king used the enemy, Haman, as a tool to achieve his own plans to bless his servant, Mordecai. So also our God can even use the enemy, Satan, as a tool to implement his plan of blessing upon you. Whatever's going on for you right now, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it's ugly, but we have to look to the Lord for deliverance because it is coming. And I tell you what, it's already on its way. We need to pray and believe God that he is bringing a turnaround, because he is. Just like he did here in the book of Esther for Mordecai. Just like he did in Genesis for Joseph. And Mordecai, God's servant, when he was blessed and promoted, all of God's people, the Jews, were set free and blessed and prospered. You know, when we make a stand for the Lord, and when we declare our allegiance to him by speaking out, when we're faithful and loyal to him, and we believe God that he is going to deliver us, he sends a turnaround to us. And it has an impact, not only us, but on all the people of God. The result of our faith affects more people than just us. The end of the book of Esther, there was this huge turnaround for all of God's people, if the band could come please. Instead of God's people being annihilated and destroyed, the day of their destruction was turned into the day of their blessing. What they thought was their worst day became their best day ever. Overnight, they dealt to their enemies. Overnight, they became prosperous and influential and blessed. All the people feared them and revered them because God turned the tables on the enemy. He is the God of the turnarounds. And in just a moment, we're going to pray for some people and we're going to see a turnaround happen in the spirit in Jesus' name. You know, even things that people speak out, even words or curses or people try to prophesy things, they're not going to come on you unless the Lord gives permission. Just like Haman, he's like, yeah, man, I'm taking him out. I'm taking out Mordecai. I'm going to kill him on a pole. I'm going to take out all the people, the Jewish people, because I hate Mordecai, so I hate all of them. And they're not worshiping me, they're worshiping God. I'm going to take them all out on this day. And he got the permission from the king, but then it reversed. The Lord brought a turnaround. Man, I can remember when Alan and I weren't even going out. We didn't even like each other, but we were friends in our youth group, in our church, in another city. And I must have done something to annoy him. And I don't know what it was. Can't think. And he said to his friend, he told me later, he said to his friend, oh, never marry Eleanor Pond. But God did a turnaround. He reversed that and made him eat his words. The Lord is the God of the turnaround. some of you may know this story, but it's a true story. The French atheist, Voltaire, he lived in the 1700s. He said, if we would destroy the Christian religion, we must first of all destroy man's belief in the Bible. He predicted then that the Bible would be extinct within a century, stating that 100 years from his death, a person would be able to find a copy of the Bible only in museums because the Bible would become a dead book. So Voltaire died in 1778. And 25 years after his death, the British and Foreign Bible Society was organized. And the very printing presses in his own house that used to be to print his writings about atheism were instead used to print copies of the Word of God. And his house became a place where the Word of God was printed into many, many copies, and many people got a hold of it. Do you know what? Since Voltaire's death, millions of copies of the Bible have been printed, and to this day it continues to be the number one best-selling publication in the world, selling more copies than any other book ever in history. The demand for Bibles increases every day, while Voltaire's works have yet to reach a complete English edition. Voltaire is dead, but God and his word live on. And many have been saved by reading the word of God and grown and discipled in reading the word of God. I love the irony. I love how God turned that around. God has got such a sense of humor. Let's stand this morning. Know this today. Whatever is going on for you right now, God has good things for you. Believe the goodness of God. Receive the goodness of God. There are some people here today right now, and you need a miracle, and you need a turnaround right now in your family, in your situation, in your finances, in your business. If that's you, I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to ask you to come forward because we've got time, and we want to lay hands on some people and see God turn it around right now. So you come right now if that is you. And Father, right now we prophesy the turnaround of the Almighty God to happen in these lives. We speak miracles. We unloose healing miracles. We unleash healing miracles. We loose miracles in finance and business and kids, restoration to marriages, unsaved kids getting saved, backslidden people, loved ones coming back to the Lord. Move in power. We declare it. There will be victory here in Jesus' name. Have your way. Let's give God some praise. He is a turnaround God. Hallelujah. Woohoo! We proclaim it in Jesus' name.